We conclude our journey through the Ten Commandments with the ninth and tenth commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. These commandments call us to guard our hearts against envy and desire for what is not ours. They remind us to cultivate contentment, gratitude, and purity of heart, focusing on God's gifts in our own lives rather than longing for what belongs to others. Living these commandments fosters inner peace, strengthens relationships, and draws us closer to God's will. These recordings from the Catholic Files podcast with Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, are part of a special 9-part series exploring the Ten Commandments through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. May these reflections strengthen your faith, deepen your understanding, and accompany you on your journey with Christ. And now, here is Father Sean Donnelly.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Catholic Files. I'm Father Donnelly. I'm glad that you're listening and you're present accordingly. In this season, we've been walking together through the beauty and depth of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, uncovering what we believe, why we believe it, and how it shapes the way we live. So, whether you're new to the podcast or returning from past episodes, please, God bless you. The journey is for you. I'm glad you're here. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord, please help us appreciate all the teachings of our faith, particularly considering that these are based on God's revelation as instructed by our magisterium and as practiced and held by way of the tradition of the Church. Based on sacred scripture, thank you for telling us the important things, what we need to know and how we need to live and what our hope is. Our hope is in Christ, who lives and reigns with you, dear Lord, and the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. We are finishing up the Ten Commandments, so now we are taking the two last commandments together, numbers 9 and 10, and this is because they have to do with what is inside of us, as opposed to just behavior. Behavior, of course, is also, can be, I should say, sinful, but a person can also commit sin interiorly without actually doing anything bad. So this is what we're talking about here. The ninth commandment is... it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, his ox or ass or anything else that is your neighbor's. And specifically, so actually that's also the 10th commandment, cover those things. Coveting other people, coveting somebody's wife or spouse, or coveting somebody's goods. The fact is that we're fallen, that is to say, because of original sin, everybody has a tendency to be weak in different ways. And this is something we have to deal with throughout life. Now, with the grace of God, of course, we can overcome it and live a holy life. So this is really the point. But our heart needs to be purified. As Jesus said in Matthew 15, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication. The struggle against carnal covetousness entails purifying the heart and practicing temperance. Temperance means self-control. Jesus gives us the Beatitudes. The sixth one is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart refers to those who have attuned their intellects and wills to the demands of God's holiness, chiefly in three areas: charity, chastity, or sexual rectitude, love of truth, and orthodoxy of faith. The battle for purity. Baptism confers on its recipient the grace of purification from all sins, but the baptized must continue to struggle against the concupiscence of the flesh and disordered desires. With God's grace, he will prevail by the virtue and gift of chastity, where chastity lets us love with upright an undivided heart, by the purity of intention, which consists in seeking the true end of man with simplicity of vision. The baptized person seeks to find and fulfill God's will in everything. By purity of vision, eternal external and internal, by discipline of feelings and imagination, by refusing all complicity in impure thoughts that incline us to turn aside from the path of God's commandments, by prayer. This is a quotation from St. Augustine, who converted from a life of sin. I thought that continence arose from one's own powers, which I did not recognize in myself. I was foolish enough not to know that no one can be continent unless you grant it, dear Lord. For you would surely have granted it if my inner groaning had reached your ears, and I with firm faith had cast my cares on you. Purity requires modesty, an integral part of temperance. Temperance means self-control. Modesty protects the intimate center of the person. It guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity. Modesty is decency. It inspires one's choice of clothing. It keeps silence or reserve where there is evident risk of unhealthy curiosity. It is discreet. There is modesty of the feelings as well as of the body. It protests, for example, against the voyeuristic explorations of the human body in certain advertisements, or against the solicitations of certain media that go too far in the exhibition of intimate things. Modesty inspires a way of life which makes it possible to resist the allurements of fashion and the pressures of prevailing ideologies. Teaching modesty to children and adolescents means awakening in them respect for the human person. So, number nine, commandment nine, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, goes with commandment six, thou shalt not commit adultery. So, whereas commandment six deals with immoral behavior, the ninth commandment deals with what is inside people, immoral desires. Tenth commandment, you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The tenth commandment unfolds and completes the ninth, which is concerned with the concupiscence of the flesh. That is to say, the ninth is, the tenth forbids coveting the goods of another as the root of theft, robbery, and fraud, which the seventh commandment forbids. The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not steal. So the tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Why do people steal? Because they covet. Lust of the eyes leads to violence and injustice, forbidden by the fifth commandment. Fifth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Avarice, like fornication, originates in the idolatry prohibited by the first three prescriptions of the law. The tenth commandment concerns the intentions of the heart. With the ninth, it summarizes all the precepts of law. Disorder of covetous desires. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's goods, forbids greed and the desire to amass earthly goods without limit. It forbids avarice, arising from passion for riches and their attendant power. It also forbids the desire to commit injustice by harming our neighbor in his temporal goods. It is not a violation of this commandment to desire to obtain things that belong to one's neighbor, provided this is done by just means. The tenth commandment requires that envy be banished from the human heart. Sometimes people are very envious about what other people have. Envy is a capital sin, or a deadly sin. It refers to the sadness at the sight of another's goods and the immoderate desire to acquire them for oneself, even unjustly. When it wishes grave harm to a neighbor, it is a mortal sin. St. Augustine saw envy as the diabolical sin. From envy are born hatred, detraction, calumny, joy caused by the misfortune of a neighbor, and displeasure caused by his prosperity. Envy represents a form of sadness and therefore a refusal of charity. The baptized person should struggle against it by exercising goodwill. Envy often comes from pride. The baptized person should train himself to live in humility. Would you like to see God glorified by you? Then rejoice in your brother's progress, and you will immediately give glory to God, because a servant could conquer envy by rejoicing in the merits of others. God will be praised. The economy of law and grace turns men's hearts away from avarice and envy. It initiates them into desire for the sovereign good. It instructs them in the desires of the Holy Spirit, who satisfies man's heart. poverty of heart. Jesus enjoins his disciples to prefer him to everything and everyone, and bids them renounce all that they have for his sake and for the gospel. Shortly before his passion, Jesus gave them the example of the poor widow of Jerusalem, who, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. The precept of detachment from riches is obligatory for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It's important to be detached. It's not wrong to own things. It's not wrong to be rich. That's not the point. But we have to be careful we don't live to amass material things or strive to be possessing things accordingly. All Christ's faithful are to direct their attentions rightly, lest they be hindered in their pursuit of perfect charity by the use of worldly things and by an adherence to riches, which is contrary to the spirit of evangelical poverty. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And he celebrates the joy of the poor to whom the kingdom already belongs. The Lord grieves over the rich because they find their consolation in the abundance of goods. Let the proud seek and love earthly kingdoms, but blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's from St. Augustine again. Abandonment to the providence of the Father in heaven frees us from the anxiety about tomorrow. That's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In other words, he's telling people, don't be worrying about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Trust first in God's providence. These things will indeed be provided for you. In other words, don't live for those things. Trust in God is a preparation for the blessedness of the poor. They shall see God. So, the ninth commandment, the tenth commandment. Okay, now, these last two commandments are directed to the mind and the heart. They concern the interior life of each person, where thoughts and desires reign supreme. So, God's law touches not just the exterior act, but also the interior dimension of thinking and willing. The ninth commandment is found in Deuteronomy, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." The word covet means to wish for enviously, to desire inordinately or culpably. So the ninth commandment tells us to be pure in thought and desire, and it forbids all thoughts and desires contrary to the virtue of chastity. On numerous occasions, Jesus warned his disciples to avoid all unclean and wicked desires. So, out of the eight Beatitudes, one of the eight Beatitudes covers this matter. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. In another place, Jesus says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, immorality, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." St. Paul stressed the same idea, Colossians 3, 5-6. "Mortify your members, which are on earth, immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which is a form of idol worship. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the unbelievers." And St. Peter warns us in his first letter, "Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul." That's 1 Peter 2:11. Now, some Catholics seem to think that only external acts are sinful and that the law of God does not govern one's inner thoughts or desires. And what I've cited above or just previously should show very clearly that thinking that only external acts are can be sins is not wrong, because sin starts on the inside of people. Evil thoughts sometimes come into people's minds without their inviting them in. They don't know how they got there. It could be ideas of hatred or revenge, adulterous thoughts, impure desires, blasphemous thoughts. It is very important to remember that such thoughts, no matter how evil or how persistent they might be, are not sinful as long as one does not give consent to them. When tormented by such thoughts, one should have immediate recourse to prayer and also to divert his attention to other good or harmless objects. I advise people, sometimes in the confessional, if you're tempted to look at something you shouldn't look at, like pornography or something, whatever, what you should do is get busy with something else, get your mind off of it. It's easier to fly from temptation than to fight it. And certainly it's wrong for a person to think, well, I'll just look at one picture and things will be fine. Well, it doesn't work that way. People have to completely break the desire. And the more people stand up against temptation, the less onerous it is to do so. over time. So, thoughts about impure things become sinful when a person thinks of an unchaste act and deliberately takes pleasure in so thinking, or when unchaste desire or passion is aroused and consent is given to it. It should be clear, then, that pornography, in all of its forms, since its purpose is to stimulate lustful desires and passions, is condemned and forbidden by the Ninth Commandment. The Tenth Commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods, forbids all willful desire to take or keep unjustly what belongs to others, and it also forbids envy at their success. Please note that the commandment covers such desires that are deliberately willed or fostered. If a person suddenly realizes that he's beset by such thoughts and has not deliberately consented to them, there is no sin. Scripture also warns us against greed. Take heed and guard yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Luke 12:15. By means of the ninth and tenth commandments, the Lord is telling us to avoid all evil desires. This does not mean that our minds should be a vacuum. On the contrary, we should cultivate good and holy and healthy desires. If we do that consistently, then we will be rewarded with both spiritual and psychological health. So, my dear friends, thank you for listening today. I'm sure many blessings will come to people as we apply the way we live, but the wisdom that comes to us from indicated in the Catechism of the Church based on the revelation of God. So let us conclude. Until next week, please stay rooted in the faith, and may the dear Lord bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We sincerely hope and pray that this recording from the Catholic Files podcast, featuring Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, reflecting on the Ten Commandments through the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, draws you ever closer to the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not merely rules. They are a roadmap to holiness, a guide to living in right relationship with God and with our neighbors. As you listen, allow your heart to be open to God's grace. Let His truth illuminate your mind, and let His love transform your soul. For those seeking to deepen their faith, we invite you to explore more of the Catholic Files weekly podcast with Father Donnelly at www.iccmadison.com. And whether you are near or far, know that the Church, Christ's living body, is always welcoming you to encounter Him through the celebration of the Holy Mass. Please download these audios to share with your friends and family. May these reflections on the Ten Commandments inspire you to live with integrity, humility, and joy. And always carry in your heart the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. Let this commandment guide your actions, your thoughts, and your prayers each day. For in loving God fully, we learn to love others as He has loved us. Thank you for listening. May God fill your life with His peace, surround you with His love, and guide you always on the path of faith and holiness. May the joy of Christ dwell in your heart today and every day.